Welcome to the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast, where I share with you information that may help and support you as you work towards your own goals. This podcast can help you find a more realistic and practical approach to tackling common dietary challenges. I will be sharing some intimate interviews as well as my own insights to shed light on important nutritional and well-being topics. I'm Shani, your host and a certified nutrition consultant. I work with people seeking to look and feel better, providing them with realistic, safe, and doable solutions so they can reach their nutritional goals without giving up their favorite foods. Ready? So let's begin. All right, so today we're going to talk about sleep. And the reason I want to talk about sleep is because I believe, and there's research to back it up, that sleep is a huge factor in our overall health. Meaning, if you are sleep deficient one night, a couple nights, or occasionally, you know, that's okay. But if you're sleep deficient continuously, that could potentially interfere with your health. Now, because this podcast is called Realistic Healthy Living, I'm going to keep things realistic. And the way I'm going to do that is offering you the best case scenario on one hand, but also allowing you to incorporate things in the way that work for you. I understand that among you, there are people that have different struggles currently, and maybe sleep is not at the top of their priorities, and that is fine. But the reason you're listening to this episode means to me that you find it important enough, and therefore maybe at the time that is convenient for you, you'll be able to invest in improving your sleep. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you 10 things that allow you to improve your sleep in different ways. And you don't have to do all of them. You can choose to do one and you can choose to do six, but it's your rhythm, your pace, and whatever applies to your current situation. Before I begin, I would like to remind you that everything I provide in this podcast is general information only and should not be seen as personalized recommendation. Should you decide to make any changes to your lifestyle, please check with your doctor first. I think that in order to improve sleep, we first of all need to understand why it is important. And I know you're thinking that it's very clear sleep is important for us to feel okay during the day and to be able to function properly. But what does that mean? Also, I want to say this. I feel that sleep is undervalued in our so-called around-the-clock society. And again, some people are unable at the moment to sleep enough. And it could be for a variety of reasons. It could be that maybe you are a young parent, or you're a student, or you have a shift job and it's hard for you to adjust your hours accordingly, or other struggles that are personal to you. And I understand. And we're not here to perfect anything. We're not here to reach the ideal in the books kind of sleep. We are here to improve if there's a place for improvement. We also need to remember that as humans, we are highly adaptive. So we can train our body to do many different things, and our body will collaborate at the end of the day, pun intended. But it doesn't mean that that's okay. For some people, that adaptiveness may cause a ripple effect in a negative way in other ways. But there are good news, and the good news that it's not too late to improve on your sleep. So back to the importance of sleep. Sleep is really an essential component of health, overall well-being, and quality of life. And here are some examples. Sleep affects our mental and cognitive functions. So learning, memory, and the way these two consolidate will be affected by sleep. A lack of sleep have been shown to impact overall performance and productivity. It can hurt our ability to focus, problem-solving abilities, and our decision-making skills. And if that's not enough, sleep can also affect us emotionally. Not only it has a huge role in regulating mood and emotional responses, but also in reducing the risk of developing mental health issues, such as depression and anxiety, for example. When we sleep, our body releases growth hormones that are necessary for muscle growth. It works on repair and recovery. It replenishes energy stores and repairs damaged tissues. So if you are an athlete or just generally engaged in physical activities, enough sleep is crucial. And one last thing, the American National Institute of Health says that people who do not sleep enough or wake up often during the night may have a higher risk of coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, obesity, and stroke. So the bottom line is that the way we function and feel during our awake times depends quite a lot on what happens during our sleep time, and of course, the other way around too. Now, I'm about to give you the 10 things you can do in order to improve your sleep, but before that, maybe you're asking, how much sleep do I really need? So the recommendation for the average adult is between 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. And of course, this may seem really far-fetched for you right now because 7 to 9 hours, that means you have to go early enough to bed, depending on your waking time, or maybe other factors that you're kind of like saying, yeah, of course, that's not going to happen. This is not realistic to my lifestyle. And that's fine, but at least have it in mind. And as life moves forward for you, try to see if you can increase slightly your current amount of hours you get for sleep. All right, so let's start. I'm going to give you 10 things you can do to improve your sleep, and I'm going to elaborate on each thing so you can understand the logic behind it and what can be done. Number one, so this may sound kind of like logical, but if you want to sleep 7 hours per night, you need to calculate what time you have to wake up and then take 7 hours back. And by that time, you need to be asleep. Meaning, if you have to wake up at 6 a.m., you have to be in bed at 11 p.m. the night before. And the reason I'm pointing this out, although it is very clear, is because sometimes I have clients that tell me, oh yeah, I start getting ready at 11 p.m., but by the time I fall asleep, it's already midnight or 1 a.m. So what I mean by being in bed ready to sleep 7 hours prior to your wake-up time is finish everything you need to do before that time you need to be in bed. Be ready to sleep at the time that you calculated that provides you the amount of hours you want. So that was number one. Number two. The physical condition, something that a lot of people use as the term sleep hygiene, is really important. I don't know if I want to use that term sleep hygiene, but I'm going to talk about that overall conditions that will allow you to be very comfortable in your sleep. We'll start with darkness. Because of how our brain works and because it is so sensitive to light and darkness, and these two factors affect our ability to sleep, it is important to have a very dark room or allow very dark conditions while you sleep. And one thing to test it, it's not scientific or anything, but one way to test if it's really dark in your room, or if it's dark enough in your room, when you're in bed, lying on your back, You can extend your arm forward and try to see your fingers. If you can clearly see them, that means you may have too much light in your room. Now again, I understand the conditions have to be such that you have some kind of a light source nearby your bed. Maybe because you have small children that need to have access to you in the middle of the night because they had a bad dream or something happened. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night to use the washroom and you need a little bit of light. That's fine. But again, keep that in mind and try to create something that will allow you to have enough darkness in your room. Another thing would be temperature. It's common to think that you want to be warm during the night, and that's okay. And of course, I'm not saying that you should sleep without a cover, fully naked and exposed to a breeze from the window. Not at all. What I am saying is that you need to have in your room slightly cooler temperature than you would like to think. So again, don't freeze yourself up, but try to create conditions in your room that are cool. And when you are asleep, using your cover, you feel that the temperature is just right. And as the night proceeds, you don't get too warm and uncomfortable. See what works for you. It's a personal thing, but being too warm may cause interference with your quality of sleep. Another thing is to have good sleeping conditions as far as mattress and pajamas and duvet cover. Make sure that your mattress is in good condition and it's not too old or any other conditions that may cause short or long-term discomfort. Same with your pajamas. Are they too tight? Are they too loose if you use pajamas? It's important to be comfortable when you are asleep. Number three is a bit tricky because I'm going to do an entire episode about that, but it's something also to be looked into. I couldn't skip that as one of the 10 things, and that is stress. Stress, of course, can deter us from falling asleep. We are running scenarios before we fall asleep of things that we did do or not, that we have to do and don't have the time, or something that someone said to us, or something at work that is happening, or a member of the family or a friend who is sick, or there are so many things that could cause stress in our life. And it's inevitable. We need to deal with them, but the time to deal with them ideally would be during the day and our awake time. Because let's face it, right before you fall asleep, you can't solve a lot of problems. So ideally, if you could find ways to calm down before bedtime, and I'm going to talk about different ways in the stress episode that I will do, if you can practice them or find what's right for you and what works for you, that would be great. Number four is a big subject, and the subject is blue light. Over the past few years, there were so many talks about blue lights and how it is unhealthy to be exposed to blue light. And I actually want to dive a little deeper into that because blue light is actually extremely important for you. So let's talk about that. First of all, what is blue light? Blue light is one of the lights that is being transmitted to us from the sun. It also gets transmitted to us from electronical devices such as our mobile phones and computers and TV. So this is what is blue light. Now, blue light is something that we want to expose ourselves to during the day, but not during the night. And exposure to blue light during the day will actually positively affect our ability to sleep well during the night. Meaning, if you can step outside as soon as possible after your wake-up time and spend some time outdoors during the day looking at the bright horizon. Of course, don't look at the sun. That's unhealthy and not safe. But looking at blue skies, or even when there's overcast, expose yourself to the outside. That would help you with your falling asleep and staying asleep the following night. When blue light becomes less favorable to our sleep is when we expose ourselves to blue light when it's dark outside and our melatonin levels are very high. Because now the body thinks that by being exposed to blue light, it would be as if we are in the middle of the day. So melatonin levels could be confused in our body, and I'm air quoting here, you can't see me, but I am. melatonin levels could be confused in our body and have us struggle to fall asleep. So what can we do about that? Well, here's the thing. I can't tell you to put your phone down and try to stay away from blue light a couple hours before you go to bed, because that's not realistic. And this podcast is about realistic, healthy living. I can't do that. I'm on my phone just right before I start getting ready for bed. So I guess I represent the majority of humanity living currently now in 2023. So no, I'm not going to ask you to do that, but maybe you could do some things that could help you a little bit with blue light exposure during the night. For example, dimming lights all around the house would be a good idea. Dimming the lights on the screen of your phone or your computer or your TV, that would be helpful too. Another option would be to use blue light blockers. There are some kind of glasses that you put on or some kind of a screen that you can have on your computer that blocks blue light. That's an option too if this is something you want to look into. But my message is to try to reduce the exposure to blue light as your bedtime approaches. Number five. Hopefully you have some kind of an exercise routine or some kind of a physical activity that you follow on a regular basis, even if it's not every day. Doesn't matter. The point is, hopefully you're somehow active. If you're active, it would be good to ensure that your exercise routine is not too close to your bedtime. Because physical activity and exercise releases endorphins, it is recommended to have about 2 to 3 hours gap between the end of your exercise and your bedtime. And this would allow your body enough time to calm down and go into a more relaxed state. Number six is quite attached to number five, and that is the level of fullness or hunger you go to bed with. A lot of my clients ask me about having their last bite at 8 o'clock if they go to bed around 10 or 11. And what I usually say, if that works for you and you feel good with that, great, do it. But if you're too hungry when you go to bed, that could interfere with your ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. So you need to manage that hunger level when you go to bed. On the other side, if you have a very large dinner and you feel too heavy by the time you go to bed, or maybe you had a certain snack that was a little too big and now it kind of like sits with you and doesn't allow you to feel comfortable when you go to bed, maybe look into that too. So too full or too hungry may interfere with your ability to fall asleep. Number seven would be actually talking about the food that you choose to have close to bedtime. So added sugars, chocolates, ice cream, things like that, or chips that are high in simple carbs, things that may make you more alert before bedtime could probably be replaced with maybe some fruit or yogurt or things that will not spike your sugar levels high enough to interrupt your sleep process. Number 8 is also related to food, but this time is what we drink. And I want to talk specifically about caffeine. It took me a long time to realize that my body does not clear caffeine quickly. I need to give it between 10 and ideally 12 hours to rid off the caffeine from my blood completely. So one time I had coffee, I think it was 3 or 4 afternoon, and I recall sitting, lying in bed, my eyes wide open. I feel tired. I feel like I'm ready to sleep, but my eyes are like, I couldn't fall asleep. I tossed and turned probably until 3 or 4 in the morning, and only then I managed to fall asleep. So I tried that a few times later, and I realized that I need 12 hours between my last caffeine intake and my bedtime. For you, it may be different. I have a friend that actually needs to have a cup of coffee before he goes to bed, and only then he manages to fall asleep. But his body works differently as far as clearing out caffeine from his system. So you do you, check if you are having maybe either too much caffeine during the day, or are you having caffeine too close to your bedtime as your body's ability. For some people, it will be 5 hours, for some 10, and some can't even tolerate caffeine. So you need to do your own due diligence and figure out what's best for you. And number 9 will take us to another type of beverage that may affect our quality of sleep. And I'm talking about alcohol. And it's funny because I have some clients that tell me that having a small glass of red wine after dinner or with dinner allows them to fall asleep faster. And that may be true. However, it has been shown that alcohol may interfere with our ability to stay asleep. So even if you have a glass of wine and you fell asleep perfectly well, there are more chances your sleep will be interrupted due to this glass of red wine versus not having wine at all. Yet again, I'm not here to tell you whether to have alcohol or not, but if you are and you are struggling with sleep, maybe that's another subject to look into. In number 10, I want to talk about the routine of sleep. And this is closely attached to something that we call the circadian rhythm. The circadian rhythm is sort of a biological clock that is highly dependent on light and darkness, as well as seasons of the year. One example of interference with our circadian rhythm is when you travel to a completely different time zone and what causes jet lag. Because your body is used to a certain rhythm, now that you change things and have your body be awake at times that you would have been asleep, that interferes with the circadian rhythm. So one thing that the circadian rhythm likes is routine. And the closer you are to your routine with your sleep-wake times, the better it is for the body to follow that routine and to stay in that rhythm. Meaning, if you can try to go to sleep at the same time and wake up every day at the same time. Now, this is another thing that I understand that is difficult to follow because a lot of people feel, for example, that the weekends are time where they can sleep in. And that's fine, but we are talking about improving sleep. To me, this sounded as the most difficult thing to do. For me, it was always, for years and years and years, weekends were dedicated to sleep in. And quite recently, I stopped doing that as a part of me trying to improve my sleep. And personally, I feel a big improvement in my quality of sleep. I really don't want you to think that if you follow those 10 things that I have talked about, your sleep is going to be perfect. First, I don't like the word perfect. I do believe in improvement, and I hope that the things that you're going to do to improve your sleep will actually improve it. But we also need to remember that our activity during the day sometimes changes, and that affects also the changes at night. So fluctuations during your sleep will happen regardless if you follow everything that I have mentioned, and that is normal, and we need to keep that in mind. If your overall sleep is good, 80% of your sleep is satisfactory, don't worry about the other 20%. That's okay and normal that you have better nights and less favorable nights, as long as the overall sleep quality and quantity are good for you. So to sum up, I really cannot overstate the significance of getting good quality and quantity of sleep. Sleep is fundamental to human health and well-being, and it impacts every aspect of our life. It is crucial for physical health, cognitive function, emotional well-being, productivity, and performance. So in order to optimize our overall health, it is essential to prioritize and allocate enough time for sleep. Have a good night.
I hope this episode provided you with some value. If so, your support will really help me. Here are two simple ways to do so. The ideal and easiest way would be to click the follow sign. And if you're willing, please share my podcast with anyone you think could benefit from it. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.